Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Does somebody want to check and see if Rob's heart rate is back to normal? Is he back to his resting heart rate right now? Look at his fingers. Look at his fingers drumming.
So I'm clear. I want to be on the same page. That's important when we do a show. Is this you not giving me crap?
You were late. Dick.
I know, but
he's a total dick.
No, you said at the front of the show. You said at the front of the show you're not going to give me crap today. I apologize. I'm sorry. No. I was late.
You were really late.
What is this fascination with tardiness? We set a new time to start the show, and you guys show up late.
Hey, I was on time today.
Yeah, you're loving life.
This is awesome.
But sometimes the blind squirrel finds the nut, and that's exciting for him.
Hey. Yeah, but you came in. Did you not come in? Have you not had an attitude since you arrived? Because you are mad at yourself
for
being late.
I'm furious at myself.
And you're taking it out on all of your coworkers because you were tardy. What I said was, Oscar was in here. You came in late. Oscar was having a blast because Oscar gets more crap about being late for work than any human being, including some famous meltdowns where he's left the show because I've given him so much crap about it. And then he's come back, and I've yelled at him since about it. I've yelled at everybody. I've been late before. Everybody's been late. You were late. You let everybody know you were going to be a few minutes late. But then we just start having fun because when we're in here and you're not in here, and then you arrive, and it's like... And it's like, okay, all right, okay. You're not listening to any of the pre-show meeting. You're like, all right, yeah, all right, well, whatever. Yeah, okay. You ready? And this is Rob when he gets ready. You ready now?
All right.
You're ready
to
start the show now?
Allow me to defend myself.
I'm not giving you crap about being late. I'm giving you crap about your attitude when you have made the mistake.
Let me defend myself. Is that we were ready to start, and then we had something we needed to check. And we all tried to make sure it was right, and then we got it right. All right. Well, you know what? Sometimes I'm a dick, I guess. For that, I'm sorry.
When you're late, let me give you a little advice.
Oh, you know, this is really going to hurt coming from him.
This, by the way, is better than any vignette about sports like we were planning to do, which we will get to.
Oh, you know what? And because it is my fault, I have to listen to this, but I can't look at him. So just talk to me.
I will get into the next thing, which after this, which is both you guys living in the market and not knowing the correct pronunciation of the name of the Washington Redskins general manager. We're going to get to that in a second.
All right.
But yeah, you came in ready for bear, and we predict you'll come in ready for bear because when you are late, you blast into the studio.
And I hate it. I hate it.
I know you.
I hate it so bad.
What did I say, Oscar?
So
what did I say before you got there?
You called it.
He hates being late more than I do, and nobody hates it more than I do. I didn't think anybody could. Rob hates it more than anything. It's incredible.
When you're late, Rob,
yes,
you have to come in sheepishly, apologize, and then let the guys do the driving.
All right.
And this way, this time it would have been Mike and I.
Listen to you.
This is good. Let me get a pen. I did apologize. Sheepish,
you
did. No.
You can't
you
be
did.
A dick.
You
can't
did.
Be a dick.
You did, and I think we all do, don't we? We all apologize to each other when
we're
a little tardy.
We don't project it on our coworkers that we f***ed up, and you got to pay the piper.
The only thing that got me was right at the beginning, Robin. I wasn't going to say anything until you're like, all right, you ready? Because it's so not you.
Like he was waiting on us.
Like he was waiting. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Are you ready? I've been ready for 15 minutes, for God's sake.
You know what, Alice? I got a big mouth. A big mouth. And you know what? Let me reintroduce and underscore my apology.
Well, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
It's not anything. You are not a rude person, and you are a pleasant coworker to deal with. Much more pleasant than the two men you work with.
That's absolutely.
That is irrefutable.
Well,
the point is, it was just because of that. When you divert from that, it is extremely noticeable. And we called it because, you know, when I see your text that says, parking. I know that. I know that you're going to come in. Yeah. And it was just interesting. But that's not
a creature. A creature of habit. A creature of routine. I think it's necessary for what I do. And when there are three wrecks on stupid Chainbridge Road, which is not an adequate road to begin with.
No, well, none of the roads coming into the city are.
The infrastructure is crumbling, Mike. And another show. That's right. Pony slept here last night.
Pony,
it's time you knew he's lost his apartment.
When we do double check, and I've checked this with Pony. Pony, how did you find your commute today?
It was actually maybe 40 minutes. It was pretty smooth, but
that's
I didn't take change.
That's fun.
Pretty smooth. I walked in, I think, record time around 8:24, right? Mm-hmm. A little early. And
you got here at 8:24?
Yeah, and he was sitting here. I was like, whoa, someone got up early.
Wait a minute. You got here at 8:24,
yeah,
really?
Man. Hanging out, talking to Pone.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. And and the only thing that was said, Rob, that'll piss you off was the only thing that was said was when I said, well, he won't be late for back to school night. Never late for that. That's for sure.
Well, knowing that Oscar got here at 8:24 means I think we'll do the show, and then I'm going to kill myself.
No problem.
We'll finish the show first, though. That'll
it's all good. Well, one of the things we were going to discuss today with this incredibly assembled sports panel. What's the GM's name?
Oh, no.
How do we pronounce it?
It's McLuhan.
It's McLuhan. Marshall McLuhan. Marshall McLuhan is the J. No. All right, let me turn that. I hate that. All right, anyway, sorry. Yeah, I do hate that. But
you don't like the storied fight song of your own Washington Redskins?
Oh, Rob, beat 'em, swamp 'em, touchdown, let the points soar.
That's right.
Duh.
Remember the original lyrics, Mike. Fight for old Dixie. They don't like that being spread around, but that's the original words.
All right, here it is. Big, big story concerning a sports reporter, a female sports reporter at ESPN, and the Redskins GM's wife, who is Jessica McLuhan. And apparently a tweet, not apparently, because she's apologized for it, a tweet went out. Let me just give you, the way the story goes.
All right.
Okay. This is the wife of the Redskins GM.
Mike, just quickly for context, because you haven't been in the market, but you might know that the ESPN reporter used to be the sports reporter here in D.C. at NBC4.
Make that transition.
She just got promoted to NBC. To
Lindsay
ESPN.
Zarniak. This is fertile ground for hiring from this market to the national stage of ESPN. The wife of Washington Redskins general manager publicly apologized to ESPN's Diana Russini on Wednesday evening for posting vulgar tweets directed at Russini.
Oh, no.
In a statement, Jessica McLuhan, wife of Redskins GM Scott McLuhan, said, "I deeply apologize for the disparaging remarks about an ESPN reporter on my personal Twitter account. The comment was unfounded and inappropriate, and I have the utmost respect for both the reporter and ESPN." No, you don't.
Oh, my God. She wants us to buy that?
I regret, this is after they said it was a fake account.
Right, and
tried
that
to
didn't
spin
stick,
it.
Right?
I regret that my actions have brought undeserved negative attention to the Redskins organization and its leadership. My comments in no way reflect the opinions or attitude. Blah, 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 blah. I regret that my behavior has in any way negatively impacted the team and its loyal fan base. The apology came after Jessica McLuhan on Sunday posted tweets directed at Russini, who broke the story of Kirk Cousins replacing RG3 as the Redskins starting quarterback. She was talking about BJs. And apparently
the oral favors. I'm wondering what was the blood alcohol content of that tweet? Because I bet it was fueled by wine or something.
Do we have the actual
tweet? Because
her
husband, everybody has their demons, is a recovering alcoholic if she was hammered.
Oh, yeah. The actual tweet, I believe, was, "How many of those did you have to give to
Let
get
me get
that
it.
Story.
Let me get it. Hold on as we prepare for our sports segment with nobody prepared.
I have
Hold
the article
on,
in front
say.
Of me.
All right, what did she say? What was the tweet?
Okay, well, first, let's... I appreciate you setting up the table. I think the most important part is this, is that there for some time now has been a trend from Diana Russini. And I can't corroborate any of these stories because these are all alleged, right? That she has made her name by breaking for the most of her career, at least for the Washington Redskins, that really like propelled her into national fame, breaking Redskins news, Mike. Where right. she was breaking news before anybody else.
And Being
she
on top of it, Mike.
And she wasn't actually breaking it from the NBC Twitter handle or on NBC News. She was the local affiliate here in DCWRC. She was actually breaking it from her personal Twitter account.
Ah,
so
okay.
Now, for someone to take the leap of and say, oh, my God, like, how is she so connected to this organization? And then for this tweet to come out. The idea of someone going online and slandering someone's name isn't right, right? You never get away with it. It's not the way to actually go about your business. But it is interesting that she was able to get so much information without a connection, a real personal connection to the team. She said she has personal relationships, but ideally you would think they're all professional, right?
And you would hope.
But if they're not, and, you know, she's someone, not take Diana Rossini out of the equation here, but if they're not, and a female reporter or male reporter, what have you, is dating a player or dating somebody from the organization and getting information, is that illegal? No.
Yeah, well, you know what? The thing about it is the tweet alleged that because she gave oral favors to people in the sports community, that's how she got this scoop. And I am looking once again, because let me tell you about the sports blogosphere. This is the most overanalyzed, overemployed segment of American journalism that I have ever seen in my life. There are too many. There are people that do it. This makes podcasters look like a small community.
With
the number of people. All right, I want to hear what exactly the tweet
the
was.
The actual tweet.
Okay. So the tweet
from Jessica McGluin, wife of Redskins GM.
Please tell us how many BJs you had to give to get this story. And did they laugh at you before or after?
Now, here's the thing, and let me ask you this, and I throw this open with no knowledge whatsoever of Diana Rossini. I have no idea whether they had a relationship, Jessica McLuhan and this sports reporter. I don't know. Why in the name of God, if you were going to slam some, why would that be sent out? And what would she base that specific kind of vulgar tweet about? What? Are there rumors that something like this had gone down? I mean, what's going on?
Just for context, I'll tell you what Diana Rossini tweeted, right? And she initially tweeted, and this was the response to that.
Okay, all right.
She goes, I absolutely think that the Redskins have a losing record by the bye week. Changes will be made. My opinion, not reporting, right? So she's talking about the Redskins from her own Twitter handle.
It's a personal tweet.
Yes,
yeah.
And the response was the one we just said, where please tell us how many blank, blah, blank you've given us to get the story. I believe her response, regardless of where it came from the id. You know, that was like her initial response.
Right.
I can't believe this woman's still talking about the Redskins. How the heck did you get this? But what really damns her is that once this tweet was taken down, and we have to give credit to blacksportsonline.com, who's making a name for them today because they were able to capture the story, who took screenshots of these tweets and actually kept them and then published them. They actually went to the Redskins and said, hey, what's going on here?
Right.
And the Redskins said it was a fake Twitter account, and then they did a little more digging and found out that it wasn't a fake Twitter account. It was actually real. And then
it really came from the wife.
Yeah, and then the Redskins doubled down and said that it's that they're having the NFL security look into this, and that's completely fake. And then they had to come back and give an apology.
Well, because I think really, and I don't think anybody, this is no news, but I think everybody can agree that this organization is known known by multiple people to be the worst organization in sports.
Oh, from inside out, the way it's run is horrible.
They will go the slimy, sleazy, wrong direction at any opportunity. And by the way, I think we're getting a clearer picture of the moral compass of a lot of organizations within the NFL, the Patriots included.
You
see a lot of this. There's so much money and there's so much on the line, and these are the most self-important people. They think that the sun and the moon and the earth revolve around them. That is how they do this. So when you see this loose cannon, and I picture like the bottle of gin going,
yes.
Well, if she didn't give any jobs, she wouldn't get the story. You know what I mean? That's the way she does it. And then they mishandle it yesterday because they're so anxious to say, oh, we're so all-powerful, we the mighty Redskins who can have horrible losing seasons and still have people care about us more than any of the sports. This is the Washington, D.C. is so completely effed when it comes to this football team that it's ridiculous.
Mike,
and
I wish I had season tickets still. I wish I did.
Well, I've got a theory about the team themselves and the performance on the field.
Just a little more context for the train wreck, right?
Okay.
So after the senior VP of communications for the Redskins, Tony Wiley, tells Black Sports Online that it's fake and they're contacting NFL security about it.
Let's do some digging on Tony Wiley. I bet he's a wonderful human being.
He sounds like a guy that wears a lot of cologne.
They have the second update where she comes clean and you read that statement. But then when people always say, and I've said it enough on the show, that the internet never forgets.
Sure.
That her Twitter profile, you have an actual bio about yourself.
Right,
you can
sure.
put whatever you'd like. Her bio says, I'm trying.
This is Diane. This is Jessica McLuhan?
Yes.
Or Diana Russini?
This is Jessica McLuhan.
Okay.
I'm trying to master the patience to deal with second-rate reporters who are only a 5.5 at best. Keep grinding it out for the five-figure salary.
That's her bio?
Okay, so
that's her bio.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So she's dissing the reporter. She's got a real problem with female sports reporters.
Yeah.
You know?
And it sounds like maybe one in particular.
Yeah, I think she's probably talking about one if you're going to correlate the two.
Yeah.
Wow.
The tweet and the bio.
And also back, Mike, to talking about how slimy the Redskins can be and actually the entire NFL. Think of the guts. To their initial reply is an out-and-out lie. It's a fake Twitter account.
Without doing any research.
Right, and then saying, not only is it a lie, but the entire NFL is going to investigate it, and they think that they're so powerful that they can't be touched on two absolutely traceable lies. That's not slimy, it's stupid.
Let me just say this, and really, we could go on and on about this, but let me just say what I think. And I really believe this, guys. I swear to God, I'm not saying this just to be funny. This is the first season where the preseason has been like this, where the preseason has been a train wreck, where you have got more crap going on with the concussion in the first preseason game, and you've got whether RG3 should be in, and now he's pulled out, and Kirk Cousins is coming in, and all that.
And the trade rumors.
Trade rumors. You've got disarray. You've got the coach being slammed for the dirty hit in the other game. You have so much negative energy directed, and all the comments from fans are just like, well, it's going to be another losing season anyway. All the tweets I've been reading about this are, it's going to be another losing season. That's why I'm here to tell you the Redskins are going to be successful.
I agree.
The Redskins are going to have a winning season, and incidentally, when they have the winning season, I'm not going to say they're going to be guaranteed of going to the playoffs, but they are going to have a successful season, wins and losses. They're going to do this because everything is so effed up. It's gotten so effed up now that nobody thinks they're going to have a winning season.
I wish Hard Knocks was covering this.
Everybody said that because, by the way, the Houston Texans Hard Knocks, outside of the coach O'Brien swearing, it's been the worst Hard Knocks I have ever seen in my life. You know, J.J. Watts is a Boy Scout. And so, it's just
don't you like see him working out, though? That's fun.
Thanks, Oscar. Yeah, absolutely.
Mike,
send
all complaint letters to partial team owner Jim Nance.
Yeah. Well, I love that moment, though, where the reporter walked up to J.J. Watts and said, please tell us how many BJs you – what's that?
It's J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. Oh, yeah. How many – please tell us how many BJs you had to give to get this story. No, that's not true. So, anyway, Mrs. McLuhan, stay away from the gin.
Well, all alcohol, really.
And, Diana Russini, it just seems a very pointed – criticism from that woman to you. And,
not fair
and completely unfounded. Unfounded. Do you think that there may be within the circle of the Redskins organization that maybe there was trash talk about this reporter? Do you think maybe sometimes this stuff, look, this would not be the first time.
Mike,
sports reporters have been linked to players in any way. I mean, not in this vulgar way, but it's happened before.
I think in the world we live in today, we're no longer in the 1980s or the 1970s or even the 1990s. If someone wants to use male or female, Everything they have to get anything they need to know, whether it's on Netflix or on the field, in this case, FedEx Field. What's wrong with that? You know?
Wow. Thank you, Oscar.
Yes.
So if these vulgar these vulgar accusations were in any way true, you have been absolved by Father Oscar Santana. We can go on with the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hey, Stephen.
Mason.
Yeah. Here's Steve. This is my wife.
You're the British nurse I've heard so much about.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Me too. That's a little bit like a bear hug.
Are you limping?
No, it's a titanium knee. This one's a trick knee, you know. It's a... I gotta eat every hour or so. Otherwise, I get these,
What, episodes?
No, they're...
Seizures?
Seizures, that's right.
You get seizures?
Mm-hmm, yeah. You know, I eat some contaminated peanut thiamines about 10 years ago. I'm totally jacked at my system, you know.
I thought you said you were in shape.
I am.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Now, I will say that I understand there was some comedy in there, but I did not understand a syllable of that. Is this a fat guy that was doing this?
No, this is the reason I chose the tape, Mike. That is the newest offering from Nick Nolte. And you can barely understand him. That's the Robert Redford movie that opens tomorrow.
Oh, the horrible Robert Redford movie.
Yeah, A Walk
movie.
In the Woods, I think it's called. But Nick Nolte has almost gone Gary Busey. It's really tough to look at, man.
Yeah, well, the reviews will be coming. Yes. Coming to you live from the Cappy Piper studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you're here, you do too. Our show today is brought to you by Vistaprint. I love Vistaprint. We all use Vistaprint, and I want you to try them too. You can make a card for your business that's absolutely stunning, and you can do it so cost-effectively. With Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter the promo code TMOS at checkout. Rob's holding one up right now. What do you have there?
One of our favorite listeners, Catherine Merritt, who lives out near me in Leesburg, not only got beautiful note cards, like personalized note cards from them, but also, look at that beautiful card right there. Classy, raised letters, and it was all done at Vistaprint. Really, it describes her to a T.
Nice.
It's great work.
$9.99 for 500 business cards. The best deal out there. The best way to promote a small business. There's just something so great about handing out a card. Vistaprint has the best customer service. Quit worrying about your layouts or your logo design. They can help you, and they guarantee you'll be happy. They even do banners, apparel, flyers, postcards, invitation, all your printing needs. Great quality, easy to customize, and your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. If you're not happy, Vistaprint will make it right for you. Just visit Vistaprint.com, create your custom card, and use promo code TMOS at checkout. Remember, that's TMOS. Don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today. Well, what a whirlwind day it was yesterday with my little guy, to say the very least, has had himself a tough week. Very, very difficult week. Making a transition to new sleep patterns. He is getting up earlier and sleeping less during the day, and we're adjusting with him, and he's a spider monkey, and he's all over the place. He's still the cutest thing in the whole wide world, but it has been a difficult transition.
So you're going from two naps to one nap a day? Is that the new thing?
One nap a day. Put him down at about 6:40 last night. Carla, God bless her, got up with him early this morning. I got to sleep in till 6:30 this morning, so it was really nice of her to do that for me, but he was up at 4:45 this morning.
Oh.
So it's been a little tough adjustment, but nothing compared to last night. I put on his favorite cartoon show, Go Diego Go, and he's sitting next to his dear old dad. And I guess we didn't really monitor exactly what that young man was taking in, probably starting at about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We just thought, hey, he's really eating well. Well, he was eating well, and then he was eating more well, and then he continued to eat. And then I guess when you're that tiny, perhaps a little more attention directed at how much food that young man is
overall
eating.
Overall volume, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm on the couch with the little guy, and he's sitting there. And by the way, knock on wood, God bless him, he's been a very healthy young man. Not a lot of colds.
Right.
Not a lot of stomach issues. Certainly hardly any stomach issues whatsoever. And he's drinking his water. He only drinks milk and water, 2% milk and water, as per the pediatrician. No juice, no soda, nothing like that.
Good.
But, and you know, as far as other foods, we're like a lot of parents. Probably we could do a healthier diet, but he has the occasional McDonald's. He has the occasional mac and cheese. And we, last night for dinner, we had a horrible dinner. It was really one of the worst we've ever had. Carla's made so much great food lately that I'm becoming a spoiled, rotten kid. And she took this ground turkey because she just threw it together, and she makes incredible meals. She's becoming Martha Stewart. Last night, she took this ground turkey, kind of put some taco seasoning in it. It's kind of this guacamole turkey. It's a very healthy, and then she puts lettuce in it, and I started to eat it, and I said, what's the matter with this lettuce? She said, well, it's herbed lettuce.
What?
They don't put herbs in lettuce. And apparently it had some dill in it. It was not tasty.
Do you mean
tasty.
It's like pre-mixed?
I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, but all I know is with all the great stuff that Carla's been making lately,
yeah,
it was a diversion. It was a departure from the norm. And the little guy came over afterwards, and his one thing, he walks over and he goes, toddle, 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 toddle. Some. And that's it. Some means that he wants some.
We want some.
Food.
Yeah.
He wants some of your food. And that's fine. And we gave him a little food. Then we're watching Go Diego Go. And he goes, he chokes on his water, which he does occasionally because
right.
he takes too much of it in. And he chokes. And then a little comes out. And all of a sudden, I see a little strand come down where it's like, it's some, you know, that's a little more than a choke. It's a little something going
yeah.
on.
Regurgitation.
And then. Oh, my God. Then the scene from The Exorcist that I mean, just like it was. And then that was on my shirt, then on my pants, then on the floor. Carla grabs him at this point. He throws up into Carla's bra and then throws up on the floor. We are, meanwhile, carrying him like he's a package coming out of a store.
Yeah, stiff-armed out in front of you, I'm sure.
You know what love is? Let me tell you what love is. Yeah, vomit is gross. There's no doubt about
one
it.
One of the
but
worst,
when
yeah.
But when it's your two-year-old's vomit and you love that kid so much, look, I don't even think in terms of that. I'm thinking in terms of him and whether he's feeling good or not. And I felt, you know, it makes me realize just how different this bond is that I have with this human being, this creature that I... You know, you understand in totality the idea of there would be a semi-tractor trailer coming down the highway and I would have a choice. And it's like you're going to get hit by it or your son is, and there wouldn't even be a thought process.
No, you don't
I would casually say, thank you all, it's been a good run, and walk out in front of the semi. I've never really tracked with that until this very moment. I love my daughters.
Yeah, what about your two daughters?
I felt the exact same way for them, and that's what having a child is. You understand that.
It seems to me like you're just realizing certain things.
No, it's having a son.
It's top of mind, Oscar. It's top of mind.
You're such a dick. You are such a dick.
You know, I've always said that when he has a kid, he'll understand. I don't know.
He'll never have a kid.
But if
he'll have a kid when he's 78 years old. He'll have a kid when he's 78 years old with like a 24-year-old Sofia Vergara.
Isn't that the pot calling the kettle? Come on.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, whatever. But I had my two kids when I was younger, too.
Exactly.
So I've done it later in life. I'm just saying that I didn't care about the vomit. I cared about what... And Carla, when she's carrying him over to the sink, she was kind of holding him baby style, and he still had, like, French fries in his mouth, undigested French fries.
You got to sort of hold him down.
Yes, yeah. So he doesn't, like, suck it into his lungs. And it was just I couldn't believe the trail of vomitosis that I had to deal with. And Carla said, I'm going to take him up to the bath, and I'm going to get him cleaned up. Can you handle the rest? And I said, yes. And it's at that moment that I looked at this trail, and it was the sofa, and thank God we have a throw cover on our sofa, because
you
all it was
out.
Was zip Take that up, no problem. Then it was the floor. Then it was the oriental rug that was next to the sofa. Then it was, and these are these tiny little pieces of stuff that I'm cleaning up.
Now, I got to ask, vomit-wise, as a parent who has been there.
No odor, though. No smell.
No appreciable odor. No. I know that he's probably spit up before, because all babies, you know, do the spit up.
He did when he was an infant. He hasn't done it since, you know.
Was this his first, like, real projectile vomit issue?
This basically was the contents of everything he'd eaten within the last
because
3 hours.
I remember Julia, the first time she threw up, they're probably about the same age. You know, she right. again, you deal with the little baby stuff, and then all of a sudden it's turn of the page, and they're throwing up chunks. Mm. Julia looked at me and Carrie and said, "What's happening?" And it
was, so she was a little further along.
Yeah, but it was so tragic because,
of course, Julia was able to use that word structure at 1.5. That's so that's probably when that.
But I mean, she probably said something like, "What happening?" But it right. freaked her out because she didn't understand, and you know, she doesn't have the history of drinking that her parents do.
Thumper was unfazed. He was absolutely unfazed. I call him. My dad used to call me Thumper.
Oh, I love that.
You understand when you're in a house with a 2-year-old and you hear. Yeah, running from one side of the house, thump, 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 thump. That's all they do is thump, 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 thump all day long. That's what he does. So he was unfazed, got him cleaned.
So it wasn't fluish, it was just overconsumption.
You don't know. And my reaction, of course, after he goes up for bath time and I'm cleaning this up is stomach virus.
Exactly. You know, the whole, and while you're playing with the vomit, you think you're going to get the stomach virus.
You're going to get the same. No, of course. He was. You know what? He was overfed. That's what it was. Excuse me. He was overfed.
Just like daddy.
It just got me. got me a little grossed out. Just
family.
About it.
It was all in the family.
He's okay now, though. He's fine today.
Good.
You know, my wonderful black golf shirt and forest green pants. Now we're in the wash.
Well, we'll always have them on TV, Mike.
Yeah, the same outfit I wore on TV, and I realized that I'm going to look really fat on TV because of the camera shot they did. I tried to get them to go to like different locations. No, they were ready to show up, do the interview, and get back in their car and drive the 2.5 hours back.
Understood. Yeah,
we'll tell you all about my day with the TV boys on the 207 when we come back. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
He gets a Lamborghini. Is it because he's Caitlyn Jenner? She's Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah,
is that why?
Yeah, well, because he knows a couple people at the dealership. But she knows a couple people at the dealership.
The thing about that is that smacks of your regular run-of-the-mill MTV-produced reality show. Gimmicky.
Again,
I'm surprised that she got a Lamborghini. I would have think that she would have gotten a hybrid. I'm sorry. I can't help it. If you're going to send me hate mail, please send me hate mail.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You have heard me talk about my Sleep Number bed and how great I sleep every night. I'm going to emphasize every word in this commercial.
Nice.
No, I'm not. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but you thought I couldn't afford one. Well, you got to realize that your sleep is the key to your good health. And can you really afford another restless night? Here's some great news. There has never been a better time to come to a Sleep Number store because all the beds are on sale during the biggest sale of the year. I love my Sleep Number bed. I sleep great. I can prove it because all my Sleep Number beds are available with Sleep IQ technology. Last night, my score was a 94, people. And with Sleep IQ technology, I know what to adjust to get my best possible sleep. They even have a snore function on there. So if you're sawing wood too much, your significant other can make a little bitty adjustment and it goes away. You'll only find Sleep Number at a Sleep Number store. And right now, during the biggest sale of the year, all beds are on sale. You can save, get ready for this, 50% on the Labor Day Limited Edition bed. No better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any one of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to look them in the eye.
Oh.
Sharply. And say, Mike O'Mara sent me. That's what I want you to do.
Nah,
okay,
nice.
Please. You really that. You,
you
be
need
surprised.
To do that.
Absolutely.
My own mother didn't do that. My sister didn't do it when they got their Sleep Number. They didn't say my name. And I'll never forgive them for it.
Well, they meant to, but they couldn't recall it.
So, that was the problem.
Yesterday was the big day, and the crew from the 207
TV, baby.
Rob and Brett and Dennis came down from came up from the television station, and this is a statewide TV show, and it's a weekly show called the 207.
Was it a magazine show?
It's a news magazine, the 207, and
a reality
show. Yeah. It's not a reality show. It's kind of a
Mike's the ex-jock looking for love.
It's a news magazine type show. That's what it is. But it's local, and it's
well, the 207. That's your area code up there, right?
That's the area code,
and that's
and
how they
the 207
got the name,
has
right.
been around.
Is Jack A still on it?
Yeah, she's the neighbor, the wacky neighbor.
Let me get a description of it. Hold on just a second. You just keep. Continuing.
And what happens, Oscar, is at the about 20 minutes into the 207, they all spin the big wheel. And if you get close to a dollar without going over, you get to go into the final round. And that's when you get to have a potato sack race with Brett Whitmarsh. Do you choose to keep your money or do you want to try to beat the devil?
We kid because we care because we've all been on the 207. They've been very kind
to us
in the
past.
They've been incredibly kind and really, really terrific. And I like these people and they could not have been nicer. They came to me. I'm still stunned at that they actually came, made the drive. But you know what? They do that because now this is a statewide program, and so they go all over the state to get whatever story they're going to get, and that's just the way they do it. So
was it Rob Caldwell that handled the interview?
Rob Caldwell, a really nice guy, and here's the cool thing about Rob Caldwell. Walks into my kitchen, we shake hands, never met the guy before, says to me, you went to Glastonbury High School, right? He said, where were you born and raised? I said, Glastonbury, Connecticut. Where I said, yeah, what year did you graduate? You graduated in 1977. I said, yeah. He said, I graduated from Simsbury High School in 1977. Mm-hmm. So we were the same age.
How close are those two schools?
Yeah, and let me just tell you, when you look at a TV person and you say, yeah, we're the same exact age, and then you look at him with what I probably guess to be 3-4% body fat on this man, and I looked at myself, and I look at myself in the mirror and I say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be doing an interview with this man with two little wicker chairs out on my front porch, and I'll be sitting next to him, and there's going to be the two shot, and it's really, no matter how much weight that I've lost, it's going to look like, seriously, that Prince Charming is interviewing Jabba the Hutt. That's what it's going to look like. And even with my fancy green pants and my black golf shirt, I realized suddenly that I am sitting like RJ used to sit.
Oh, no.
And I know that I didn't. I know because when I sit, look at the way Rob sits. Look at the way I sit.
Yeah.
We sit. Because the stomach, we do not sit forward.
No.
Rob Spiewak, RJ Diaz, and Mike O'Mara have not sat forward in 30 years.
Well, it's impossible.
It is possible, but it's not. It's everything that we, the schlub Fs, are. We are not comfortable. So we don't sit like this. Here's the way a TV person sits.
Right?
See, leaning
engaged.
Forward.
Yes.
Here's the way you and me and every guy.
Sure.
Yeah, you're always reclining for some reason.
Always reclining.
Chair has a back. It's best to use it.
And so I don't know. I didn't see anything. I didn't see any cuts from this. I am hoping that the vast majority of this interview is going to be the close-up of me when I'm asked questions and not too many two-shots. But when you see the two-shot, and it's going to air, they're going to let you know, Rob. It's
going to
air a couple of weeks down
the road.
We'll
share it as well. Skinny man, Rob Caldwell.
We'll put it out for everything. It's going to be there. Now, I had thought when they arrived that I would give them some options. The one that I told you about was we'll go down to the dock. You guys had talked about putting me in the Gordon's fisherman outfit and having me Zach's lobster boat.
Just being silly.
And there was the option for doing it at the family house down near the water and all that. They got here, and within five, I said, so we could do this, and then I realized I'm trying too hard, and that these guys had schlepped up here from Portland, Maine. They wanted to get this thing in the can and go back see their families before it's too late. And they also said because of the middle of the day, the sun's too high, it's not a good shot, it doesn't look that good on TV, and they wanted to go out the nice shaded porch, and we did the outside of the house, and it was wonderful. And the interview was, this guy, you know, I've done enough interviews that I know when a guy has his act together, and there were no notes. No, nothing. And
really?
He just rolled with it, and we probably talked for about a half an hour. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. And since it's TV, out of that half hour, they'll use 11 seconds the content.
And also 10 seconds of B-roll where they talk about you.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, and I said you could come up into the studio, although I was dreading bringing them up here.
Sure,
because
no, it's your bedroom.
He says you do a video podcast every day. Your high def cameras. Your podcast is one of the best looking ones we've ever seen. So
wow.
We're going to use B roll. The B roll will be the three of us doing the show. So you boys will be
two thumbs up, my friend. 1080p. Why not?
Nice job.
You boys will get your camera time.
A taste.
And
I
reference both of you within the interview. I always like to make sure that I mention that. And
they build that wall. I won't be here for long.
No, you'll build a tunnel under the wall.
It was nice. It was really, really nice that, and they were just, they could not have been nicer guys. Our friend Brett Whitmarsh, who we've known at that
nice
television
fella.
Station, he's in publishing now. He no longer is in the TV game. And Dennis, the cameraman, could not have been a nicer guy. Just low key.
Is it hard for a cameraman to shoot with only one hand?
It was a two-shot. It was a two-shot.
Two-shotter?
Oh. Wow. So
two shots with tripods.
Oh, so he set up the two tripods? Oh, that's
set
cool.
up the two tripods, baby.
Nice.
What do you think of that?
Did Carla make this?
Did Carla come in and say, oh, are you recording?
I dropped something.
Oh, look at this.
Carla.
Anyone want any lemonade?
And the boy, we're both the baby. We're dressed to the nines. Carla looked fantastic, but it was kind of evident that they were going to do the interview with me, and we weren't going to be doing
no family.
There
shots.
was going to be no B roll. There was going to be no B roll. The B roll is going to be you guys on the show. So that's
got
what
it,
the B roll.
That's
is.
Another
that's
reason
what the
to make Carla love me.
You do enjoy your privacy.
Yes,
I like my privacy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a little Carla. I was the one that said to Carla, "Stay in the house, please stay when you get here, because we'd love to get. I'd love to get a little you and my son on there." But that didn't happen, and she was cool. She doesn't care. That's the thing about Carla. She doesn't really care about that stuff, and that's why I love her. Okay, that's why I love the girl. Other than that, it was pretty smooth.
What topics did they address? Anything
I probably
that surprised you?
Well, here's the thing. When I do pure shtick, I'm usually not that funny. And so his opening question, tell me what your roots are in Maine. Where are your roots in Maine? And that's when I told him that I came over on the Mayflower. I told him I came over on the Mayflower, and that I did some ridiculous shtick about that, and said that when I got close to the coast of Maine, I was working in the Celebrity Lounge, and they threw me off the boat. And now that can go either way when you're just realizing that you get a legitimate question.
So the Celebrity Lounge was on the Mayflower. There's a Celebrity Lounge
on the Mayflower.
There's a nightclub on the Mayflower.
I said it was a nightclub, not because they had celebrities in it, but it was just called the Celebrity Lounge.
Sure.
That's why they and then they kicked me off the boat when I was near the coast of Maine, and that's how it went down. But it was
Did you do the Morgan Freeman?
I did the Morgan Freeman towards the end, and I did, well, here we are, the great state of Maine, and that type of thing, and they did a little of that.
Cool.
I know Oscar always wants me to do the impressions, like the TV people do. But that, nice people is the only way I would describe. Really, really cool guy, and incredibly fit. There's a level of fitness that he had. Now I'm sure that Rob Caldwell. I am sure that Rob works out probably regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, when I see a guy like that, I always envision it as effortless fitness.
Yeah.
That he probably goes out and gets a meatball sub as big as the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, and eats the whole thing and never gains a pound. But I could be totally wrong about that. But very fit.
Meanwhile, Mike, at the television station today, they're reviewing the tapes from the shoot, and one of the young interns, the fact checker, says, "We've been all over the manifesto of the Mayflower. There was no O'Mara on the Mayflower.
I thought Don DeLuise was dead."
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they're looking at the footage from the two shot and going, "Hey, Rob, were you standing next to a black building?"
stop! You can't look that bad. Come on.
Well, I'll let you know, but I think I think when they get the two shot and I'm in that wicker chair, I'm doing the pendulated stomach deal, even with the weight loss.
You're going to be okay, Mike, as long as the guy who was running sound didn't say, "We're getting a lot of sound from Mike's wicker chair."
And just thank God they did it yesterday, because if they were doing it today, my forest green L.L. Bean pants would be covered in vomit. Thank you very much.
That's a story.
We'll take a break, come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And I've lost my light, for I toss and I can't sleep at night.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. New from TM Soft, Spill Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Spill Zone, a brand new puzzle game where the goal is to make the entire puzzle one single color by spilling one color into another. It's unique, challenging, and utterly addictive. Like all great puzzle games, the concept is simple, but it requires... The concept is simple, but it requires strategy to complete the puzzle in the fewest moves possible. Excuse me. So get ready to experiment, fail, and repeat. With this fun new app, you can play through all the challenging levels in the single player mode and keep track of your friends' progress by connecting with Google Play, Facebook, and Game Center. Excuse me. Or try the multiplayer mode where you take... turns with your friends to determine the true Spill Zone champion. Excuse me. Visit spill.zone and download this... Visit spill.zone and download this challenging puzzle game to your Android or iOS device. Best of all, it's free. Excuse me. That's spill.zone. Spill Zone. One small pour for man, one giant spill for mankind. Excuse me. Download it today. Thank you very much, Spill Zone. That's delightful.
Disclaimer.
Oh, please.
Consult your lab technician to see if Spill Zone is right for you. Spill Zone may cause reduction in caring about responsibilities. Do not play Spill Zone while operating heavy machinery. Pregnant women may make their best baby smarter by playing Spill Zone. If device overheats and vibrates, seek shelter and cover head. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Of course. And of course we forgive you for all those horrible noises.
Welcome back to the show. I am very, very happy that Rob is being the father of the year and going to another back to school night. Any drunks last night?
Now, keep in mind it was not back to school night last week. That was parents' night at the high school.
Look, let me explain something. And why you clarify this is
bad. No one cares.
The kids are going back to school. So any effing thing you're going to is back to school night. And if they have a problem with that, they can me. Okay?
Wow.
Do you have any inside information about the Redskins?
It's not back to school night. That is the parents' night. Whatever.
But you see, the reason I say this is because back to school night for high school is next week.
Oh, and you're going to that.
You have to go.
No, don't go. This time, don't go.
You don't have to go.
There are, first of all, harder working fathers that actually don't go to these things because they're working till 9 o'clock at night. And their kids are just fine.
Carrie can't go next week because she has a concert.
What?
Yeah, she's taking Julia to a concert. Julia, the girl who's benefiting from back to school.
You were 2.5 hours at the high school the other night, and you're going back next week?
Yeah, to meet the teachers. I want to meet the teachers.
Oh, all right. I understand that.
I mean, the teachers.
Have you ever missed one?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I missed a couple early ones.
1990.
When we were doing the afternoon show, I missed them because you couldn't get home.
I understand that, and then because of that, you probably want to make all.
I do want to make all of them.
It seems a little
ridiculous.
Does it really make a difference?
It does if you want to. No, here's why it does. When the kids come home and they complain about some bitchy teacher or some pain in the ass teacher, if you've had at least a chance to eyeball them, you can put it into perspective.
Well, in my home, we couldn't complain about teachers because that's just not the way that we rolled.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty healthy.
No, I don't. I'm a father that believes in siding with the educator. And not that I'm going to slam my kids, but our society is rife with these parents that anything their little darlings do.
If I came home and I was bitching about a teacher, my mom would have given me a sopapo, which is basically a smack to the face. Like, what are you doing?
Not acceptable in my house.
Well, you know
it was not done.
Those people don't get paid enough for what they do.
Now, hold on. I've sided with teachers.
To a fault, that it can go the other way a little bit too. There are probably some times when the teachers are unfair, but that's life. Life is unfair, yeah, just
I've,
like when
I've
you have a boss.
The bad role sometimes with a bad teacher.
Yeah, everybody has, I'm sure.
But you see, here's the deal. To understand that, and this happened with one of Julia's elementary school teachers. She had a lot of trouble. We did conferences and everything, and eventually I sat down with Julia. I said, you know what? I think you're right. You're not going to get along with this teacher no matter what happens. However, you need to do it. You need to make
it
work.
What about just respecting your elders?
That's
and
what
doing
I said,
best
Oscar.
And not being coddled because there's a personality conflict with the effing teacher when you're in fifth grade.
I really love the fact that you prepared your response before I spoke, but allow me to address it.
Yeah, he was saying the same thing, Oscar, in fairness to him.
I said you have to deal with it. You have to be respectful. And you have to get through this year. I said that you're going to have experiences like this through the rest of your life. You might even work with a jackass.
It pisses me off that you even have to have a conference about that. That should be
a known. It's called teaching your children. That's a kid. All right? It's a kid and they don't know.
You know what my parents taught me? They said, suck it up. They make the rules.
Okay. And it's worked out great.
I don't think that the issue I take with the high school is that you were 2.5 hours, which you hated every minute
of. I did.
And then they are schlepping you back. It ought to be one deal where you
now,
go
that
in
I agree
and
about.
Meet the teachers.
Because it
That's
was
all you
what
need
it was,
to do.
That was all administrators. And it turned out a tremendous circle. It was useless.
Absolutely.
But you don't know that until you're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And so with that said, I do enjoy the back-to-school night because you get to meet the teachers. Found out an interesting rumor that I will dance around very carefully, that perhaps one of Robert's teachers might have been on the Ashley Madison list.
This is why he goes.
So there was some skinny. There was some decent gossip last night. That was good.
Can't you just have the Chubbucks FaceTime you in?
I think that'd be great. But also with the Chubbucks, they have 700 kids. If anyone's going to do it virtually, I think the Chubbucks have earned it.
Do the Chubbucks have kids Robert's age too?
Jillian is going. No, not Jillian.
They really do have 700
Faith.
Kids.
Faith is going to the middle school this year.
Yeah, I have faith that he'll get some contraception.
Jesus!
Sorry.
There was no obvious drunkenness last night because you know what about this? This one moves because you go in and there's 7 minutes in a class, 4 minutes to get to another class. And so it you're never.
You met the teachers at middle school last night.
Yes. But here's the thing that was great. The people that were most misbehaving were probably me and Carrie. And we know now it's been a long time since we've done a middle school back to school together because for a couple years. She had to go to Robert's classes. I had to go to Julia's classes because it's the same night.
By the way, let me just say the way I really feel. I think you're an engaged parent, and that's good for your kids that you do that. I think that's terrific. I think it really is. We mock you, but we mock you because that's what we do on this show.
Does anybody ever come up to you and say, usually a mom or a dad because somebody else is working, right?
Right.
Say, what do you do for a living again? When you both are just sitting there laughing, having coffee, enjoying life. Like, I guess we're all jealous is what that is.
No,
really.
I mean, it did start at 6 o'clock, so even people with real jobs could be there.
What time were you out of there? What time?
We got out of there just before 8, I think.
Well, I mean, even if it starts at 6 o'clock, even slackers with real jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're doing the Wall Street dance, you're getting home at 7:45,
yeah.
To be perfectly honest.
Yeah, but are you going to go to that meeting? You let the little lady handle that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not. Probably going to go home and go right to that scotch. Yeah. Three ice cubes, pour it in there, take your suit off. You know,
I'm going to say, where's the gin?
How was the dad turnout last night? Was that 50%,
70%? Oh, no, I'd say it was 15% dads.
15% dads.
Yeah. Explain the dragon stuck in traffic.
And a lot of one parent representing the family type situations.
He came in with his scab picking suit on today.
Yeah, he does every day, Mike. He has it in 5 different colors. He has the suit and 2 pair of pants.
So what was your total time commitment last night?
A little less than 2 hours, I think. And it was not. It was
so you've
not
had
bad.
You've had 5 hours outside of work. You've had 5 hours at these schools.
Yeah, and we'll do another 2 hours next week, and then we're done for a while. But there was one teacher, and this was the moment that when we recounted it to Robert, he was mortified. This is a teacher that was talking about the best way to contact her if we needed to, you know, have concerns about our kids. And she said, well, you can always email me. And they have A days and B days, right? Like two different schedules. And she said, on an A day, you can call me anytime between 10 and 11:30. But this is Carrie and I at this point, our eyes are rolling because we're never going to call this lady. And she says, now I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But you have to know, I may be at a meeting or I may be doing a duty. Now, I know what she meant is that, you know, tasks fall on teachers that they have to take care of during their downtime.
I know what she means. I don't have a potty brain. What do you think I do for a living?
But no, she said, I may be doing a duty, and I have to cover my face with a handout because this is a teacher that you can really perhaps picture doing that and really working at it. And so I turned my head slightly.
So she's a little Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah. Is that, and Carrie's head is down. And when we make eye contact and see that we're both fully functioning grown-ups laughing at a duty joke, it gets worse.
I might be doing a duty.
Yeah. And so
I'd like to record that.
We call Robert and we run down his list of teachers and then we tell him the story about the teacher doing a duty. And he said,
see, now you're shaking your head at that too, aren't you, Oscar?
Because you're just laying the groundwork for him to disrespect his teacher.
Absolutely. Yes,
no,
yes,
because
yes,
if you've laid 12 years of respecting grown-ups, and you know he is
amazing. Let's be now that you know I defend you, but I'm not, but we really haven't been doing that either. We have not laid 12 years of nonstop authority. You are. Your dad before you was. You are fight the system guys. You are get over on the man guys. That is that is the Spiewak code of behavior.
He doesn't. I'll say this. He doesn't respect me, but he does respect adults. He does. Okay. He's good about
that. He's a good kid.
He treats me like
crap. Well,
they're
both good kids. Yeah. They're both wonderful kids.
We're telling him about this, and he pauses. He says, you laughed at a duty joke? And all of a sudden, he's 40 and I'm 10. And
yeah,
I said, well, we stifled our laughter. He said, did she hear you laugh? I said, no one heard us laugh.
Do you see the role reversal here?
Yes.
He's being the adult.
Yes.
He's being the adult in this situation.
Thank God someone is.
So
did
as
any
I
of
always,
the other parents hear you laugh?
Because now you're embarrassing him.
I said, Robert, this is one thing your mom and I know. We've done enough of these. We sit in the back of the classroom out of harm's way. No one knows we laughed. And then I said, and besides, wouldn't it be funny if she really was taking a duty? And there was a pause, and he said, yes, Dad, I guess you're right. But you shouldn't have laughed.
He's stressed out. He's starting school. Yeah. Let me ask you, during the you met all the teachers,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
All of them? Were there
none of that?
Any new hot moms?
No. It's sort of the Loudoun County code. The moms are either fat or plain. And then there's my wife, who is a knockout.
Oh, my God.
But there's a lot of... You
fat
know what I saw?
Plain.
And you know what?
Fat or plain.
I'm going to add a new category.
That's your boy Rob's
people. Did all the teachers look like that clerk down in Kentucky that's now giving marriage licenses to gay people?
That's a lot of the administrators.
That rhino bitch who got born again 3 years ago and like been through three husbands and just it's her way or the highway.
Newly updated for 2015, there's a third category for the Leesburg mom.
Okay, there's fat, plain, and what?
Harsh.
Oh,
harsh.
No.
Yes. Like been there, like rough, right?
Yeah. Well, what it is you see the face and it's like, will they be taking their textbooks home? Because there's been a lot of sunning and a lot of working out. And I saw a lot of women in knee braces last night. I don't know what that was about. But it's just, it's a fine class and a good school. And let's go get them.
Yeah. I can give you a tip on that. It's called, it's something, you probably, maybe you didn't hear about it. It's called exercise. They exercise. That's,
really?
That's what they do with that.
Is that why they're such bitches?
That's why they're such bitches.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, I'm really not.
So next week you meet all the teachers in high school.
The high school teachers, yeah. And Julia is playing it so cool. I think personally, and don't tell anyone, I think Julia is a little overwhelmed and she doesn't like that. This is a massive high school and it's a big change.
Mm-hmm. High school can be overwhelming.
So in
absolutely.
Order to cover the fact that she's overwhelmed, she's playing it super cool. And so we were talking to her last night. I said, what teachers do you like? What teachers do you not like? And she was going by class. I said, what are their names? She says, I don't know my teachers' names.
Really?
I said,
yeah, that's high school. That's high school.
But she said, you're going to play it that cool? Really? Mm-hmm. That you're going to pretend not to
say?
She just said, I don't know their name. I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
So
do you get the impression that she's enjoying the experience so far? Or is she kind of, some kids just don't, you know, Elizabeth didn't like high school.
I think it's going to take
that much.
I think it's going to take a little while. And I think what's going to help her is in a week or so when they start with the clubs and the extracurricular stuff. Also, one thing that's really bumming her out is that the one class she was looking forward to the most is a drama class because she didn't ever get a chance to take one in middle school. There was no drama classes. Her teacher is out for this week. So she's not even met her theater arts teacher yet, and that's the class she really wanted to take, and it hasn't even started yet. I think she's going to land on her feet. She's a resilient kid. She's a smart kid, but it is. It's a scary big school, and it's a big, big change. So I think she's going to be fine. I think it's just going to take a little while.
Yeah, the drama teacher, she would have had a chance to meet her, but the drama teacher was doing a duty. Sorry. I like that joke,
Mike,
too.
That is not funny.
Thank you. We'll take a break. Come back with the wonderful news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Seinfeld.
Do you know who Jerry Seinfeld's best friend is?
His name is George Wallace.
One of the funniest comedians out there. George is on this week's episode. I love it.
Who don't we get?
Well, that's a long list.
Go with me, will you please?
I understand what you mean. Yeah. Anyway, it's a great show, and you'll learn all about tangy sauce. Check it out. It's the Tony Perkins Show, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the free new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Great guests on the Tony Perkins Show. Yes, we used to have them. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's talk fantasy football for a minute. The time is nigh. FanDuel Week 1 game's almost here. You deserve more fantasy in your life, so get over to FanDuel.com and sign up now. FanDuel.com is the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. We love FanDuel. You're going to love it, too. You'll love the salary cap format. You can pick from players you want for just one week. Anyone can play. We've all done it. And I will tell you, entry fees still start at just $1. Don't wait until it's too late. Draft your week one team today. Just go to FanDuel.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code TMOS and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people to use the code TMOS. Just remember to enter TMOS at FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel, where every day is a brand new season. Sign up today, and we would certainly appreciate it.
News!
The website WatchMojo.com has chosen the 10 actresses with the sexiest voices. Now, we don't have the voices for you. You can probably have to use your memory here.
Actually, Mike, I have the voices.
You have all the voices?
I do indeed.
Nice.
Oh, all right. Very good. All right. Well, you want to play them?
I get. Yeah, I mean, if you want to reveal. I mean,
we're the laziest f***ers in the world. I swear to God. We source the same That's what we do. We source the same stuff all every day. One sheet. That's what we do. I'm going to start. You know what? I'm done using that sheet. I'm going to do it. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to source it somewhere else. But let's hear the voices.
Well, I thought you could reveal them at number five.
Okay.
Start at number five?
Number 10 is Elizabeth Hurley.
Okay. I have the top five.
Yeah, you have to go to number five.
Okay,
Mike.
Number five is Emma Stone.
Okay, here she is.
You're adorable.
No, I am sexy. I am R-rated sexy. Okay, I know what happens in the PG-13 version of tonight, all right? I know. It's that I get really drunk, and then I pass out, and you cover me
all right,
with a blanket.
That's Emma Stone. I don't know whether I think hers falls into that category. She's got a very rough voice.
Yes.
Smoky is the way I would describe it. Number four, I think I might agree with this one, is Penelope Cruz. Let's
I had a nightmare last night. We were in that little alley behind Piazza Navona, where I bought you this scarf, remember? The same one your wife bought you.
Don't move, Carla.
When you wear it, I never know if it's hers or mine.
Now, Penelope Cruz is the combination of the vocal quality and the accent, too.
The accent,
number
yeah.
three is Marion Cotillard, or Cotillard.
What is it exactly you do for a living?
John Dillinger, rob banks. That's where all these people here put their money.
Why'd you tell me that? You could have made up a story.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't
number
it.
Two, number two is Angelina Jolie. Let's listen to Angelina.
You got a name? You want to tell me what it is? Well, mine's Lola.
I think she's pretty hot, yeah.
And number one, I think we might all agree on this one, Scarlett Johansson.
Earlier I was thinking about how I was annoyed, and this is going to sound strange, but I was really excited about that. And then I was thinking about the other things I've been feeling, and I caught myself feeling proud of that, you know, proud of having my own feelings about the world, like... The times I was worried about
listening to it on the radio, I'm not sure.
Now when she's yammering about nothing.
I know. Sharon Stone, Ava Green, Charlize Theron, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Elizabeth Hurley round out the top ten. They also gave honorable mentions to Michelle Pfeiffer, Natalie Portman, Liv Tyler, Elizabeth Banks, and Marilyn Monroe. Rosie O'Donnell might be having a summer fling with recently converted lesbian Tatum O'Neill.
Whoa.
A source says, quote, they are romantically involved. It's a bi-coastal relationship. Rosie filed for divorce from her wife, Michelle Rounds, earlier this year. She's 53 and Tatum is 51. Rosie's rep says they're just friends and they met a few years ago in Chicago while they were both doing shows for Oprah's cable network.
Nice.
So, you know, Tatum O'Neill's been in the news since she was 9 years old, and she won the Oscar for Paper Moon, and she's had her ups and downs, married to John McEnroe, and I still, though, think that in her day, there was a period of time where Tatum O'Neill was kind of a smoking hottie.
Oh, yeah,
But Rosie goes for the prettier girls. It's not like Rosie's going to find somebody who looks exactly like
her,
Rosie.
Her ex-wife is gorgeous.
Yeah, very, very attractive woman, so we'll have to wait and see. It wasn't very long ago that the idea of Donald Trump and Kanye West running against each other for president of the United States would have been a complete joke. But at this point... Who knows? Trump is leading all his Republican opponents heading towards 2016, and Kanye just announced his alleged intention to run in 2020. Should we laugh off any scenario at this point? I don't think you should. I really don't. I believe that. As much as I am pained to say it, no, you shouldn't laugh it off.
You can't.
Yesterday, Trump weighed in on the possibility of a Kanye presidential campaign. He said, quote, I was actually watching. I saw him and I said, that's very interesting. I wonder who gave him that idea. He's actually a different kind of person than people think. He's a nice guy. China! I hope to run against him someday. He added that he doesn't get why people compare the two of them. Well, let me tell you. They compare the two of you because you are both extremely wealthy. You are both married to very attractive women. And you're both complete and total a-holes.
That's true.
There's the comparison, okay?
Nice parallel.
It's easy. Bam.
No. Come on, Donald. I mean, know thyself a little bit, won't you? The New York Times is reporting that changes were made to the Will Smith movie Concussion to soften it a little.
Oh, no. Really?
I don't buy this. I don't know whether this is true, because apparently they were afraid of how the NFL would react. The article is based on an email exchange that came to light. Now, not a lot of... This is a little hazy here. I think if you're going into this project, you're throwing caution to the wind anyway, and you're,
gotta be careful.
You're taking on the NFL.
You gotta be careful.
Oh, but man, I mean, when the movie is about the NFL coming down on someone, if you can whip up a story where the NFL is coming down on the movie, that's instant press.
That's true.
Director Peter Lanzmann says, quote, these emails were taken out of context in a year-plus creative process that's a constant negotiation. I can tell you my concern for the NFL and the studio's concern for the NFL was less than zero. He admits that scenes were cut from the movie, though, including one where there's a heated exchange between NFL officials and Commissioner Roger Goodell. But, quote, nothing with regard to this important story has been softened to placate anyone. HollywoodReporter.com got their hands on an old script, and there's another deleted scene where Goodell talks with some doctors. So I don't know. It might be taking a run. If you're going to have this movie called Concussion about brain injury in the NFL, I think that the very premise of the movie itself means you're not going to be worried about what the NFL thinks.
Also, right? But it's if you can get it to mirror real life today, it makes it so much more valid. It smells to me like press. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sorry, I can't wait. I finally saw the trailer, guys.
Oh, it's great.
It's phenomenal.
It looks great. And Will Smith looks like maybe Oscar time for him. You're not going to believe this, but a new survey found men do something that's grosser than women. I know, shocking news, right? The survey asked people how often they wash their hands after they use the bathroom at work and how often they see other people in the bathroom wash theirs. 75% of women say they always wash their hands, versus 59% of men. I believe both of these are categorical lies.
Of course.
Show of hands, have you ever been in a bathroom and not washed your hands?
Of course.
I'm raising my hand. Yes, everybody does.
Of course.
You don't, and that means when you go to a meeting and shake hands with five guys, two of them probably didn't wash them the last time. I would say I'd go further than that and say three. I've been to how many
That's
sporting
you
events have we been?
You fist bump.
You fist bump. How many sporting events you go through and you see the guys, you know, drain the main vein and then walk out without doing a damn thing?
Oh, and
That's
you know
ridiculous.
What? There are times when you go to certain establishments, oftentimes on Route 95, mm-hmm. where right. you feel safer not washing your hands because uh-huh. you're touching less things in that
room.
Oh,
there have been restrooms on the super slabs in this country where I have actually used my feet to touch almost everything.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
The bottom of my feet. The survey also found 46% of men see other guys skip out on washing their hands all the time versus 32%. 46%. I think, God, if you've ever been in a public men's room, I've seen hundreds of men
of
not
course,
wash their hands.
Course.
It happens all the time. Come on. And now a little something something. Jennifer Love Hewitt has a great sense of humor. The new mom of two welcomed her baby boy Atticus back in June, and after taking a couple of months off to spend time with her new addition, she's ready to get back to work. However, the Criminal Minds star had an embarrassing mommy mishap on Tuesday during a business meeting when she unexpectedly sprung a leak. This is the quote, ventured out for the first business lunch since baby boy arrived, she began her post, lactated through silk jumpsuit mid-meeting, had to buy scarf for dignified exit. She shared a photo of her fresh face and new purchase on Twitter. The 36-year-old who shares Atticus and daughter Autumn with husband Brian Hallisey has kept a low profile since welcoming her second child, and now we will give Rob Spiewak a moment alone.
There you Thank you. Yes.
Kidding. Anyway, that's it. We'll take a break. Come back with the Magic Audio Ball right after this on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Omaracast is back and bigger than ever. A new studio brings us better sound, stereophonic quality, Technicolor, and of course, more Mermelstein. More special effects, a whole lot more fun, more connectivity so that we can bring you back into the show. Omaracast is here for you to keep you in touch with more. Sponsored by Feed Your Cats Right. Try Mother Hubbard's Fruit Friskas.
Wonderful, Marcus, and hope you're enjoying your passive-aggressive birthday week. Any fallout from Serta about our comments the other
Not
day?
A word.
Heard any?
Not a word. No. That no, would be too. I think that'd be too properly aggressive.
Right.
Jennifer
exactly.
Love
yes.
Hewitt. I found the tweet.
Yeah.
Jennifer Love Hewitt doesn't look like Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I agree. I saw the same picture you're looking at, and she doesn't look like herself.
Wow.
Yeah. This is who you've been fantasizing over for all these years.
I think I saw her at that back to school night.
Yeah. Harsh.
A little harsh and a little plain.
She's only 36.
Wow. Yeah. She needs her makeup.
Whoa.
Maybe time to move on.
Oscar's never been a fan. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody wants to stay ahead of the latest styles and trends, but it's tough trying to find the next big thing. Face it, it's hard to be cool. That's why you need touchofmodern.com. Touchofmodern.com, where I got my Trazer watch, is the easy way to find all the newest products and stylings for your home, office, and closet all in one cool place. They have wonderful items, cost-effective items, too. It's not all expensive stuff. You can get really, really great deals. You'll be able to upgrade your style without upping the price. Touch of Modern connects directly with top designers for timeless and unique products at the best prices anywhere. We all love the site. It's always interesting. They update it constantly. They scour the globe for jaw-dropping tech gadgets, sleek iPhone cases and accessories. They have new and vintage watches, sexy home decor, plus men's fashion and accessories that are sure to get you noticed. Touch of Modern has new sales launching literally every day. It's the one website that elevates your lifestyle with a single click. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today, people, because tomorrow it'll be different. That is how life rolls in the fast lane. Touchofmodern.com. Let's open up the audio vault for Thursday, September 3rd, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
Right, Jacob?
Hey, Mike and Bear. It's time for audio vault.
Now, you were talking about
yes.
that Donald Trump wonders why or how Kanye got the idea to run for president. This is interesting, and some people were talking about it yesterday online. It was trending around. A kid was taping him at the VMAs on his phone, and you can hear right before Kanye made his presidential announcement, someone yells Kanye for president, and people are theorizing that he just made it up on the spur of the moment, because otherwise how would the kid know to yell it at that time? Here is the proof. It's up to you.
Kanye for president.
Hey, yes.
I'm ready.
As you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
So he said it right after someone yelled Kanye for president. So
that's a little weird.
And it was so rambling.
Like he was stoned. It really seemed like he came up with it. He's like, what am I going to say next?
Well, and if someone yells that.
So that makes complete sense.
So you think he? So your theory is that Kanye heard the heckle?
Yeah,
and
I mean, the heckle's the first thing here. Listen one more time.
Kanye for president!
And I think that might be Eric Zoolander. Sounds like him, doesn't it?
He's a big fan.
Yeah.
He's a big
Kanye fan. For president!
But and then just moments after that, he makes the announcement. So he was stoned and probably open to suggestions. So maybe that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A celebrity death yesterday. If you don't know him by name, you certainly know him by face. Dean Jones, who starred in a million Disney movies.
Oh, I love Dean Jones.
Like The Love Bug and Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo.
Shaggy
he
was the
DA.
Disney it guy for years
for
and years.
For years and years. He also was in the movie Beethoven about the big German, not German Shepherd, St. Bernard. But right. I will always remember Dean Jones. His first big film role was Teddy Talbot. He played a disc jockey in Jailhouse Rock, and this is my favorite line he has. He actually breaks Elvis's record in the movie Jailhouse Rock as a disc jockey by reading a dog food commercial over it. So this is him in the studio playing the Elvis record and reading live copy.
When I walk through
folks, does your dog turn up his nose at the same old canned dog foods and dried preparations? Then why don't you try fresh meat? Size Pet Shop will deliver fresh, red, juicy horse meat wrapped in the size package you demand right to your door. It only costs pennies more, but the treat for your dog will be worth dollars in health and vigor. Remember, Size Pet Shop, telephone Mammoth 62480. That's Mammoth 62480.
He had a pretty good run. Parkinson's is what got him, and it's sad because I think a lot of people in our generation kind of grew up with him. He was in all those Disney
movies. Dean Jones.
Dean Jones. Now, I like to see our President Barack Obama being a pitch man. They got him to go on the Bear Grylls show, Running Wild with Bear Grylls, which is a pretty good get. But they also got him to cut like a promo. And at the front of this, he sounds like an enthusiastic pitch man. This is our president.
Hi, everybody. We're at Kenai Fjords National Glacier Park, and behind me is one of the most visited glaciers in Alaska. We've been able to spend the day out here just learning more about how the glaciers are receding. And, you know, it's a signpost of what's happening with a changing climate. This is worth preserving.
But it's very cool that he did that show. And I think you see this, I think, a lot of times in the last 2 years of an eight-year presidency. Yeah. The presidents loosen up and they do more stuff. I look forward to that episode.
Take a look over this glacier. It looks like maybe some of it's sloughed off. That's probably because of all the climate change. We're up here in Alaska. It used to be a lot colder. Bear Grylls and I are going to rappel down this cliff. Thank you, Bear.
Hey, Mr. President.
Yep.
Do you know who's back in town?
Who's that? Oh, I understand he came back over from Tunisia.
That's right.
And that wonderful boy that you practically raised as your own. That boy we call Little Jabril.
Nice.
All right. This was also trending all over YouTube yesterday. Have you heard of a famous YouTuber called Rumi?
Rumi, yes.
Rumi, yes. He is a Swedish young fellow. He couldn't look any more Swedish. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, big smile, but he does singing impressions. And his most recent video, it's been shared by some pretty big-name singers, is called One Guy, 15 Voices. Here are some of the voices he does. I think this guy's pretty good.
Oh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her.
Chocolate rain.
Hey, sound sister. Look at this photograph. Throw it away. Forget yesterday. Oh, won't you stay with me?
Wow. Yeah.
Though nah, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should.
Turn down for what?
You know. This is my type of party. Do you have the time? Back in the summer of 69.
Those are just a few
very
of my
cool.
favorites.
That's cool. That's
he's like
a good,
Mike.
And you know what?
Good.
I think we're going to see more of him
yeah.
because some big names are starting to follow and correspond with him. One of the singers said, "That's not how I sing." And he replied, "Well, why not come on over and show me how you sing? I'd love to learn." So he's having some interaction. So watch out for Rumi. And we close, Mike. I know you love puppies. Huskies are maybe the most vocal dogs that are out there. But I don't know that I could love any puppy enough if it sounded this much like a crying baby.
Nah.
He looks to be about a 15-week-old puppy. No, thank you. Wow. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Wow. Huskies, I like my dogs and I like my pants the same way. I don't know. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show is coming and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177 to get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag. Email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Support our Amazon page. Please do that. Also buy the audiobook and get yourself a bonus package. Three big ways to support the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.